Good evening, everybody. I have a question before I start. Does anybody remember when I was first here, when I was 3 years old? Can I see some hands? Wow, there's a lot of hands. You guys actually remember me being here, 3 years old? I remember one of the things I used to struggle with when I was 3 years old. I wanted so bad to go up those stairs that were roped off and see the balcony, and I couldn't. Every time I tried to go up, my mom told me I shouldn't go up there. But looking back, I wasn't saved then, so I don't struggle with that anymore. Actually, that's not true. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. A pleasure to present to Calvary Baptist Church. I have a deep love for this church, and like I said, my roots come back to here. And as you know, my dad had a great ministry here. I just wanted to say to the church that I'm thankful for Dr. Graham's message this morning and just his ministry here. And I think what a blessing it is that we have him for the time that we have him. And just I've just really appreciated his ministry in my life. Well, I'm here to present our ministry, and I say our because I came to Michigan knowing one thing, I'd be ministering. I didn't know the second thing, that I'd be engaged, but I am. One of the biggest blessings in my life is here tonight, Janine, as you most of you know. I'm sure some of you know her growing up too, so if there's any better stories than mine, please tell me. I'd love to hear them. But to get right into it here, I'm going to kind of move to the side here a little bit. You can still hear me? Okay. College and University Ministry. This is what our ministry is. We're through Vision for Youth, as you can see the little logo up there. That's my dad's company, the company he started in 1985. And this ministry kind of started in my heart when I was in mid-20s. It was after I was done with college, and I was just kind of going through life and kind of seeking myself. I was working at a bank, and my testimony kind of comes from that. I grew up in a Christian home, as most of you know. Most of you know my parents. Most of you know their ministry. They go around the country speaking to people about God and how to live godly. But I grew up with Christian parents. I went to a Christian college. I went to church about every week, and I found myself in my mid-20s just drifting from God. And I don't think I realized it. I don't think anybody else around me realized it, but I was. And God grabbed a hold of my heart about the age of 25, and he let me study the book of Revelation. And I'm not real sure what made me study that book to this day, but I know it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when I studied that book, God kind of opened my eyes to say, listen, look what I'm saving you from. Revelation talks about end times, and I'm saving you from all of this, and I was living my life for myself, in all honesty. So God really started to change my heart at that moment, and this is kind of where the college ministry thing came from, because I was at college age still, and I knew there were kids like me who grew up in the church, who grew up maybe calloused from God or the Word of God. And so I really wanted to minister to that group. And so as God started giving me opportunities in my church back home at Heritage Baptist Church, I noticed I really enjoyed doing it. I really enjoyed teaching that group. I really enjoyed ministering to that group. At the same time, I was working at a bank, a secular environment, and I was working alongside some of the filthiest people I've ever met, just the way they talked and the things they took pleasure in. But at the same time, as God was growing for the passion for the college ministry, he was also growing the passion in myself for the lost. And I found him molding those two things together in my life, and that's kind of where this ministry came from. And I just started to pray about it. I just said, God, wherever the need is, just lead me to that need, and I just want to serve wherever that is. And he led me here. I visited here in early spring, and I knew this was a great area for college ministry because of all the campuses in this one location, in this one county. So I visited here in early spring, and I started calling around to various churches in the area, some I knew, some I didn't know. And I just wanted to see the feedback I got about the ministry, about what I was looking into do. And I called about a dozen churches. I got feedback from one, and it's Calvary, and that's why I'm here today. And it's just a great example of God's sovereignty that he would lead me here. And I was very encouraged to know that it was the church I was born into, and I was excited. And so that's kind of where this ministry comes from. I was going to do 20 minutes on the Ypsilanti Tower there, but I figured if you guys want to hear history on that, I can give that to you later. This stat my dad just gave to me a couple weeks ago. The largest generation in U.S. history is headed to college. I didn't know that until a couple weeks ago, but it's true. The peak birth year for the millennials was 1990. Okay, and if you could do the math, that turns out to be that the high school classes of 2008 and 2009 will be the largest graduating classes ever in the history of the United States. And that's incredible to think about. That's incredible to think about the college students that are going to be here in this community, even. And so that's just a stat that my dad likes to show, and I just thought that was incredible. Another stat that is almost shocking, but it shouldn't be. The number one age group when people leave the church is college age. And I kind of went through that. I didn't leave the church or anything like it, but I found myself disconnected from the church. I found myself taking godliness like a vitamin every day, popping it in, forgetting about it, and not doing anything about it till the next day. And I found myself drifting, and I found my friends, some of my friends were leaving the church. Some of the people I grew up with, who I thought were strong Christians, were no longer going to church. And that's one of the big reasons I felt that this ministry was needed, and that God really put it on my heart to go after this, because I think college kids grow up in the church, and once they leave home, it's like, is God real to me, or is this something I took on from my parents? So, as you can tell from those couple stats, there's a great need for college ministry, I think. And I think God just put it on my heart and just let me see that through maybe my own experience, if nothing else. Just to say, listen, there's kids like you who grew up in the church. There's kids who don't know about me, and that's kind of where this ministry comes from. There it is. Washtenaw County in Michigan, close to 100,000 college students here in this county. Did anybody not realize that? There's 100,000 college students in one county. That's incredible. There's nowhere near to that from the county I came from in Pennsylvania. The impact that could be had here is incredible, and that's one of the reasons I started thinking about this area first when I started thinking about college ministry, is because of the massive numbers. And you can see the four different colleges and universities up there. The main four we'll be targeting, but essentially anywhere college kids are, that's really where we're going to be targeting. So that's kind of like our mission with this. And you can see Calvary Baptist Church. You guys are going to be our host church, our ascending church, which I'm very excited about. And just the partnership I've already created with this church, and just the warm welcome I've received from everybody. But that's kind of our mission here with this ministry, is to disciple college and university students, to train in other students. And the reason I say that is because me just going out to campuses is not going to be that great of an impact. Me and a team of believers, kids who are discipled, kids who already are believers, kids who already have grown up with Christianity, discipling kids like that, and then all of us going out to the campuses, maybe campuses they go at, or maybe campuses we just visit, could be so much of a greater impact. Just power in numbers. And so I guess one of the main things we're going to do is that right there, just disciple college and university students to pretty much further the kingdom of God. And I want to do that same thing, Janine wants to do that same thing, and anybody we disciple, we want to encourage them to do that, because like we said, 100,000 college students, there is a great need here. These are the things I started thinking about is, okay, practically, what are the things we could do as far as college ministry? And these are the things I came up with. The first one we're already starting to do, Bible studies in small groups. We meet Thursday nights at the Brown House right here across the street with believers. It's just a Bible study with believers, and I think it's going great. I love the group that comes. I love the group that comes faithfully. We just want to do that as much as possible. We want to disciple kids, college kids, anybody really around that age group who is just looking for discipleship, looking to grow in God. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do think God has given me wisdom in his word. I think God has used me as a tool for him, and that's really all I want to be. Training discipleship kind of goes along with that. Kind of breaks it down to maybe one-on-one, and that's the next thing up there. Well, the second next thing. One-on-one accountability. We want to really build relationships with this. I don't want to just give God and then drop kids there and just leave them hanging. I think when I grew the biggest time in my life was with my youth pastor growing up in high school, because he built a relationship with me. It wasn't he just preached at me on Sundays and Wednesdays and just let me go. He built a relationship with me. He got to know me. He got to know my likes and dislikes. And then he started to disciple me. He started to train me. And I found myself really growing through that time. And I found, even in my own time back in Pennsylvania when I started this ministry real small, I found that that's when the biggest impact was made, when I was discipling people and making a relationship with them. Either people I already knew, people I knew growing up, or just guys I had met, you know, word of mouth through the Bible studies that they started to come. When I built a relationship with them, I started seeing more growth. So that's one of the things we want to do. Outreach and social events, definitely. We want to not only have that here at the church and wherever we have this ministry, we want to go on the campuses. I think that's one of the things Jesus Christ did all the time, and we kind of talked about it this morning. He went to the sinners. He went to Zacchaeus' house. And I think that's one of the things that's important with college kids, is you go to where they are. You don't expect them to just come to your events and come to your Bible studies when they can make it, and if not, oh well. I want to go to the campuses. We want to go to the campuses, and we want to set up Bible studies there. We want to set up churches there if possible, wherever kids can feel comfortable to go and to learn about God and to grow, essentially. Service in the local church, I think, is a big one. There are organizations set up on University of Michigan and Eastern University of Michigan, or Eastern Michigan right now, that are furthering the kingdom of God. There's Campus Bible Fellowship, there's Campus Crusade. The difference with theirs and with the one that I want to start is I want to be local church-oriented. I want to get kids into the church. I want our ministry to be filtered through the church because I think that's important. And I think that's why God set it up. It's for the church, it's for the body of Christ. I want kids to come into the church and feel connected. And even in my own church back in Pennsylvania, going through college, I felt very disconnected. I sat in the back. I would hear the message. I would leave. That's pretty much my ministry for the couple years. And I think kids, if they felt welcome to the church, if they felt like there was something set up for them, maybe, you know, like we talked about with Bible studies and Sunday school, but also maybe areas to serve, then they would feel more connected to the church. And I was sad, in all honesty, when I called about 12 churches and heard there was really no motivation for it. You know, we're kind of happy with where we're at right now, and we don't see a need to move forward in the college ministry. And I heard back from one. I thought I'd get a lot more feedback from that, but I didn't. And right now I'm praising God that Calvary did show that interest. And I think there's a great need for it. And the last one, devotionals and podcasts. I've dabbled in the writing. I like to write. I think writing can be a key tool used for college-age students. My dad is a writer/publisher. Vision for Youth has publishing. That's the company we'll be going through. And I'd like to get publications out for college group. I'd also like to get podcasts. I'm telling you, it's a rare thing to find a college kid that doesn't have an MP3 player or an iPod. I mean, it's rare. And kids download podcasts all the time. There's sports. There are all kinds of things, talk shows. And what if there was a devotional for kids of that age, something they could download? If they can't get to church, if their work schedule doesn't allow them to go to Bible studies or something like that, what if there was a podcast of a Bible study for these kids to download, something we could share, something we could spread out for these kids, and it would be real informal, but yet they would hear the Word of God. And just something these are just areas we started thinking about, and which I think could be a great impact in college ministry. The strategy for the ministry and outreach is these three things, is the things we thought about. Disciple college-age believers in the church. That's the first avenue I thought of because that's where I came from. I was a Christian. I grew up 20 years as a Christian. Yet I found myself with very little growth between 5 and 25. And there's kids like that out there. There's kids who don't know how to serve God, who don't know how to study the Word of God. I was that kid. I just had to have somebody reach out to me, and I just had to have somebody take time and show me, because I wanted to serve God. I want to find kids like that. Kids who are saved, kids who do have a passion to serve God. There's kids like that in this church. There's kids like that on campuses. There may be kids who are believers who stopped going to church. And we want to find kids like that and minister to their lives. Second one is to seek out believers on local campuses, kind of like I just mentioned, kids who maybe aren't going to church right now for whatever reason. They just felt disconnected. Maybe they moved from a different location. Now they're here in Michigan, and they haven't found the right church or whatever. We want to find kids who are believers who are on campuses who aren't going to church, and they're there. They're probably a little more prevalent than we'd like to admit, but kids like that need to be discipled, need to be shown love, and we'd like to do that with our ministry. And like I said, it's a real personal thing to me because for about 5-6 years, even going through college and after college, I was doing very little for God. I claimed Christianity. I claimed God. And if you would have looked at my life, you wouldn't have saw anything really sinful or anything like that. But I was serving myself. I was seeking myself. And looking back, it was kind of incredible just how God opened my eyes and opened my heart to myself to say, listen, you're not here for you. You're here for me. Salvation wasn't the end of the story. If that was true, I would have taken you at age 5. You're still here on earth. I woke you up today. I'm giving you another opportunity to serve me and to serve my name. And when I looked at it that way, it was kind of like, I need to use this time he's given me for him. You know, like Pastor Graham, it was so perfect what he talked about this morning because it just hit me right where I was at that age, is just to say, you know, I mean, God can be served. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the motivation. And the motivation is salvation. We're on our way to eternity. And so kids like that. And the third group, obviously, is the outreach to the unsaved and unchurched on various campuses. We want to find kids who don't know anything about God, who maybe have rejected God in the past, And we want to spread God's name. We want to spread Christ's name and Christ's love. And like I said, build relationships, set up Bible studies, set up churches, whatever it takes, so that kids come to know Jesus Christ. And I want to go to where, essentially, where the sinners are. You know, be in the world, but not of the world. I want to go there, not take part in what they're doing, but I want to give them the Word of God. I want to give them the love that Jesus Christ gave to me. So those are kind of the avenues of our ministry. And I just put this up there as well. And I think this is important. Pray for this strategy to become a model for other churches across the United States. Guys, I don't know if you realize it, but Calvary is a rarity right now. That's putting energy and putting time and putting efforts and resources into college ministry. And I don't know why. I honestly don't know why that is, but it's a rarity. And I would just say that you would pray for churches to take that model and just to say, we need to put as much energy and time into the college kids as we do the youth, as we do the adults. If that's the number one age group where kids are leaving the church, there needs to be a strategy for keeping kids here and keeping kids influenced in the church. And I would just say pray. And there's churches in this area who don't have college ministry set up and aren't really looking for it. And so we pray that this thing can maybe just be used as a motivation tool to allow other churches to see that there's a need for this. So contact us. If you guys know students, and I'm sure you do, we've already made some great contacts with these universities. If you know students at these universities, if there's any other colleges or universities that we haven't mentioned, that you know college students or people that are out of school even, who have gone to college but are maybe just working in the area, let us know. We'd love contacts. We love making contacts. And we're always looking for that. I kind of touched on it a little bit, but we're going to be going through Vision for Youth. Vision for Youth is kind of going to be our agency that sends us, like an ABWE or an EBM. My dad and his company want to branch out in college ministry anyways. They've been doing it through high school and teens mostly, and youth workers. Now they want to do it with college age. So my dad and I and the board for Vision for Youth kind of came together. I met with the board. And Vision for Youth is going to be our agency. They're going to be the ones sending us. You could see the things they're already involved in. My dad is full-time with Vision for Youth now, and they want to get on the campuses. I want to get on the campuses, and it does not just stop with Janine and I. We want to get a whole team. We'd like to get a whole team across the nation that's doing college ministry for Vision for Youth and for God and for the local church. So I'm really encouraged, and I'm excited to see what God does with this. He's already done some incredible things. This church has been huge in just getting it going, just giving me the house to stay here, and just allowing opportunity for places for the kids to meet and stuff like that. And God is already blessing this ministry, and I think he's just going to continue to do so. Our prayer cards, guys, are right out there on the table. We brought them. We would love prayer support. We really would. And you can see me and my beautiful fiance, how she makes me look better. But we'd love prayer support. Take our prayer card, put it on your fridge, put it somewhere you'll remember to pray for us, because we do need prayer. And we also need financial support. And the reason we need financial support is so we can do this full-time someday. We could do this full-time so we can put all the energy and effort we want into this ministry. That's why I moved out here. I didn't move out here to work at Circuit City, which I'm doing right now. I moved out here for the ministry, and I'd love to do the ministry full-time. And I just pray that God would bring in support financially and prayer support that it would need to do that. This right here is kind of what I want to talk about for the rest. This is kind of like, I guess, a theme verse for the ministry. It's been something as I started thinking about this ministry that God really just put on my heart. And Pastor Graham, again, just perfectly set it up this morning with faith. But as I started thinking about this ministry, as I started praying about it, God put it on my heart to say, listen, walk by faith. Don't walk by means. Don't walk by financial support or anything like that. Walk because I put it on your heart. And I finally had to do that for one time in my life. I lived always at home. Even when I went to Baptist Bible College, I was 2 blocks from home. I had all the comforts of home and my friends and my home church. And this past year, I had to pack up my car and I had to come out to Michigan. And I did that because God put it on my heart to do so. And I wanted for once to prove to him that I was going to walk by faith. Hebrews 1:11 talks exactly about that. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version, but I put this one up here because I like how the NIV states it better. Says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The only way to do that is through faith. Like I said, people who walk by means instead of by faith do very little for God. Hebrews 11 talks about men who did great things for God. If you guys have your Bibles, just turn to Hebrews 11 quick. I'm not going to get real into a message or sermon here, but I just want to give maybe a challenge or maybe just a reminder for myself. from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter, one of my favorite chapters, because it talks so plainly about faith. For a lot of Christians, I think our faith ends at salvation. We have a lot of faith to put it in for Jesus Christ for salvation. But at least for me, for 20 years, that's where my faith stopped. I didn't put faith in God for anything else. I had faith that he would save me and faith that he would make me a new man and a believer. But after that, I didn't put much faith in him. And it's a sad thing. But if you look at this chapter, the greatest men in the Bible did things because they had great faith. I kind of want to start at verse 8 of chapter 11. And I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says in verse 8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. As he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt on the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." If you read about Abraham in this chapter, it states very plainly that Abraham left because of faith. He didn't leave because he had the financial means. He didn't leave because his family just wanted to get out of Dodge. He left because of faith. And he did that. He left the city of Ur and he went to Canaan. He did that because of faith. And the verse that grabs me the most is the last one that I read there, the end of verse 16. "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Don't you want that to be said about you? I want that to be said about me. I want God not to be ashamed to be called my God. And I think for a long time in my life, he would have been. Because I talked God, I talked God a lot, but I didn't live God. I didn't represent God. I didn't represent the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God here in chapter 11. And if you look at the motivation for faith, it's actually in this passage. If you look at verse 14, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country." The motivation for faith is eternity. Abraham did it. Abraham said, "Because I know I'm a stranger and pilgrim on earth, my home is eternity. I'm going to go out in faith. I'm going to go out because I represent a big God. And I know what my God can do." And Abraham proved that. If we continue to read on, verse 17 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Abraham took his son to the altar and was going to slay him. He didn't know in his mind that God was going to provide a ram. He had faith that God somehow, whether he raised Isaac from the dead or not, that he was going to create a great nation through Isaac. And that's why Abraham took his son up to the altar and was going to slay him. He did it through faith. And I think we kind of look at these people as almost superhuman or almost, you hear about them so much, they almost become a little surreal. But these things actually happened. Abraham actually took his family from Ur to Canaan. He actually took his son Isaac to the altar and was going to sacrifice him. The only reason he did that is because he had faith, because he knew who his God was. I want our ministry to be that. I want our ministry to represent God, to represent faith. If I serve the same God as the God who created the world in 6 days, if I serve the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, who separated the Red Sea, who took a man named Saul, who was persecuting the church of God and made him the Apostle Paul, who did everything he could to further the kingdom of God. If I represent the same God, I need to show that. I want this ministry to show that. I'm going to kind of use a little story here. When I was ring shopping for Janine, when I was engagement ring shopping, the first time I'd ever done that, and the last, I went to probably 6 or 8 jewelry places. 6 or 8 of them. I went to a lot of them, including I went to Toys R Us, because I thought she might want a Nintendo Wii instead, but I retreated from that pretty quick. And I hope this analogy works for you guys, but as I went into the ring stores to look at all these rings, I was overwhelmed. There's just so many rings. There's so many gorgeous rings. And I kind of like, I mean, I was there forever, you know? The people are probably getting sick of me because I'm like, can I see this one? Can I see this one? Can I see this one? But as I went from store to store, I noticed something. The display cases, I'm thinking, I was always a skeptic. I'm like, are these rings really as good as they look? Are they as good as they look because of the display cases? You know, they have the perfect glass on there. There's no smudges or anything. They have the perfect lighting tilted on the ring itself. And I'm thinking to myself, these rings, I mean, I'm sure they're great, but are they really as great as they look in the store? So that's why I wanted the sales lady to bring all the rings out so I could see them. But you know what I noticed after that? The rings weren't great because of the display cases. The rings were great because they were beautiful, you know, because they sparkled, because they were diamonds. And as I started thinking about that, I'm thinking of my own life. That's kind of how God is in my life. Display cases are nothing without the rings. I was thinking for a while that it was display cases making the rings great. It was the opposite. It was the rings making the display cases great. Without those rings in it, those display cases were nothing. They held nothing. Nobody would have noticed them. But if those display cases had been smudged or had been, if the lighting was off, if one of the lights had gone off or like that, they really could have represented the rings poorly in a bad light. But when the rings came out of the case and you got to see them with your own eye, there was no display case representing the ring. It was just the ring in its beautiful form. And I think in my own life, that's kind of how I want to represent God. I want to be a display case for God because I'm nothing without God. And this ministry will be nothing without God. This ministry has to be great because God is great. And that's what I want to represent. If I represent God poorly, then it's like a display case that's smudged or the lighting's wrong. And I can make God look poorly. But God is great because God is great. God is not great because I represent him well. And I started thinking about that in my mind. Am I representing God great? Is our church representing God great? Is this ministry going to represent God great? Because we talk big. I talk God very big. But sometimes in my own life, I'm like a very bad display case. I talk about him big. I talk about him big in the Bible studies. I get it on work or something like that. And it's different. People don't see God in me, and that's a shame. That's why I want this ministry to be different. I want this, I guess for the first time in my life, for me to walk by faith. And for everybody to see, not Todd or not the ministry or nothing like that, I want them to see God. And I want them to see God in the way that he should be seen, like here in this chapter, all the way out through Scripture, that God is great, that we represent a glorious, beautiful, wonderful, sovereign God. And so Hebrews 11:1, more specifically, is going to be like our theme verse for this ministry. And I would just say that you pray that that would stay number one with our ministry, that it would be based on faith. No matter if God brings in the means now or a couple years down the road, he's going to provide. I want to walk based on faith. I want to walk because he's motivated me in my heart. And so I guess that's my challenge tonight, is to just, if you guys have a chance, you've probably heard this spoke on, you've probably read this chapter before, read it again. Read Hebrews 11 again, because it talks about the greatest men in the Bible, and they all had one thing in common. They had faith.